and they're going to share their testimony a little bit. You know, normally, you know, I have words for a lot of people all the time, but every now and then I'll have a really strong word for a couple, and this is a couple who is so important to us and at the church, and Dolly has been here and Chris have been here since day one. Let's give them a big hand for that. They have put up with me for 9.5 years. Can you believe that? Wow, that's amazing. Man, they should have a medal just for that, let me tell you. But anyway, this is a time for increase, promotion, blessing, miracles. And I want them to share a little bit this morning about what God's doing in their life.
If I can talk right now, I just feel the presence of God so strong in this place. Pour it out, God, pour it out. Me and Dolly, we're believing God for financial increase. We're still pushing through for that. God has opened up the door for me to minister to people at work. Just this past week, we have to take my job. I have to take tests every year to be certified and just to keep my job. And about a month ago, I took a test, and they kind of joked around a little bit and said, if y'all want to pray before you can take this test, you can. And I bowed my head and I prayed, and I was the first one to finish the test, and you know, I made grade on it, and everybody else came out, they didn't pass it, and it was 20 people in there, and everybody kept coming up to me saying, what'd you do? I said, she gave us the opportunity to pray. I prayed. We took our second part of the test this past week, and I made a perfect score on it. I've never done that, and everybody came through again, and they said, man, what are you doing? You got to tell me what you're doing. I said, I prayed. Because there's not nothing really you can do to study for these tests. It's just what we do. And, you know, God's just opening up that door for me to, you know, to witness to people. But God, praying for God's favor, God gave me a vision or a dream the other day. And this is, might be for some of you in the room. Some of you might have been praying for a long time. And you're like, God, where are you at? You know, we were praying for your favor, and I just don't feel nothing yet. When I was praying the other day, and just like God's just slowly starting to come through and break things open, God showed me a raindrop. You know, if you're on a hot summer day and it's getting a little cloudy, and one big raindrop falls from the sky, and it's like just a big raindrop. And then all of a sudden, before you know it, it's just pouring down, and God said it's going to be like this. All of a sudden, you're praying for something. You're going to feel that one big raindrop hit you in the head. It's going to be a big raindrop. And then before you know it, before you can get to your car, before you can get to your house, you're going to get drenched. So if you haven't felt God yet, just, you know, you're praying for his favor in certain areas, and you're like, God, where are you at? That one raindrop's going to come, and then get ready. It's all about the clouds are about to burst open.
Well, the Lord is good all the time. He is so good and so faithful. Some of you might be aware and some of you might not. I know the whole praise and worship team is because I complain about it. I've been struggling with my voice for a couple, 3 years, really. It's like the enemy just come against me as a full-out attack. I started to lose control and range, and I got to where I'd sing one song and I couldn't hardly sing anything after that. So I just... the whole challenge, the period, I thought, you know what, I'm believing for finances, but I'm believing for restoration for my voice. And I felt like the Lord spoke to me and said, you know what, when I restore things, I make them better than before. So I'm like, okay, Lord, and while I'm at it, I'm going to ask for more range than I had to begin with. So Chris can attest, because it's probably driving him crazy, but I've been singing really high at home, which I've never been able to do my whole life, and it has just opened up. For instance, the song Break Every Chain, it does an octave jump, which my friend Sherilyn does so well. I wish she's here. But I was doing that with ease, and I'm like, my God, I've never been able to do that my whole life. So that, yeah, to me it's huge. There's still some scratchiness and roughness, but I can see that God is working, and it's exciting to me, and I'm looking forward to what the future holds. You know, and waiting on God for direction, really, with, you know, I write music, worship songs, and I'm believing that God is going to open the right door at the right time, because these songs, they're for His glory, for Him. You know, without Him, there's no point in writing. There's none. You know, if it doesn't glorify His name, it doesn't bless Him, there's no point in doing it. So just pray with me that God will open the right door at the right time, and I know He will. And I am so blessed and grateful to Him for all He's done.
Amen. Let's pray for continued healing today in that voice. Father, we thank You, Lord, that You're able to do all things. And God, we see the invisible, we choose the imperishable, and we do the impossible because You give us the power to do it. So God, we just stand in agreement today with this family. God, place of agreement is a place of power. We're building a family. We're building a future. We're building our faith. We're building our finances. And God, we're believing for favor and increase on this family this year like never before. Lord, let there be a breakout. Let there be a breakthrough in their life. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. 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 Thank you guys. Appreciate that so much. Angela Moody, come on up here this morning. I'm going to interview her, and we'll hear what God is doing for her. She's one of our big prayers on Tuesday. And Danny had a great word this last week, and I'm going to share a little bit of that in just a minute, but you can hold that. I just wanted to kind of, everybody, this is Angela. Everybody say hello to Angela.
Hello, everyone.
There's Benny back there. I didn't even recognize him with all that hair on his head back there. Goodness gracious. How you doing, brother? I love you, man. Our football player comes home. Amen. All right. Hello, Jesse. How you doing? Well, you know what? It's great to have you in our church, and she's splitting time right now between two churches because her mother, grandmother goes to
Mississippi Boulevard,
and she has to go there to get her dance on every now and then.
Yeah.
So.
Yes, when my ankle gets better.
When her ankle gets better. So we get her when her ankle's bad. So we have to get that ankle healed.
No, right. I'm going to still praise him.
She's got a great testimony of what happened on her job as she retired, yeah. Right? And talk to us a little bit about that.
I was going through a period where I was approaching 30-year tenure at my job. And, of course, my mother and my dad has over 30 years of tenure. And so in my mind, I had to get to 30, which actually I'm standing here. Today is actually my 30th. I didn't realize that till this morning. Today is the 30th anniversary that I would have retired. But the Holy Spirit told me in my 29th year, Peter, get out the boat. And of course, when you've been somewhere for a very long time, you're kind of like, well, I'm comfortable here. You know, this is what I know. This is what You have taught me. This is where You have placed me to be a light, you know, that beacon of light. And during my 29th year, praying, how many of you all know about prayer, the prayer room, the movie, right? Okay, well, I have a confession. I actually have had a prayer room since 2006, okay? So I've been a prayer warrior, as God have led me to, and sometimes we have to let go of things temporarily in order to go before the throne of God to get behind the veil. So to make a long story short, with much prayer and listening to what the Holy Spirit said and being obedient, as I was listening to what the Holy Spirit said, God said to go, okay, to go through the process. I turned in my retirement papers, and of course, you know, I'm still treading like, okay, what am I going to do after this? But in the meantime, while I was doing that, I had back surgery. I had a major change of life. I've always been very athletic, basketball, dancing, the whole works, mother of three, grandmother of two. And upon having that surgery, it was really an uncomfortable place because at the time He was telling me to retire, I was also going through what was a workman's comp case. And I don't know why I'm about to cry. Yeah, I wasn't expecting. It actually started back in 2010. And on my job, of course, I've had several promotions that the Lord has blessed me. And I'm here to tell you guys that prayer works, for God is faithful. God is faithful. He always told me to maintain my integrity of character because He's our vindicator, okay? He had me strongly standing on His word in the book of Psalms, Psalms 23, Psalms 27. Hold on, let me start over. Psalms 1, Psalms 23, Psalms 27, Psalms 37, and Psalms 91. And the Holy Spirit had me to write UPS, corporate, everything in regards to what I was going through mind you, again, he's still telling me to move, and I'm still like, okay, God. He's still telling me he's covering me with his grace and his mercy. Mind you, I have kids that are in college during this whole period. But I kept praying, and I kept believing, and I kept trusting. And in those moments where there was unbelief, I said, God, I believe. Help down my unbelief. And I started coming here, and I started really feeling the presence of the Lord. I started getting nurtured in my gifts in which God had given me. And recently, I was having to go to court about my case, and I had came to prayer, and Kathy and Danny and a couple of more people were there, Judy, my friend, in her absence. We were all there, and we were praying, and I was kind of sitting there, and the Holy Spirit said, because, you know, sometimes God tells us to be quiet, okay? We can't tell everybody everything, and everybody can't pray for you because everybody is not for you. And I was sitting there, and I told Pastor, I'm led now to ask you all to pray for me because I'm getting ready to go to court for a case that has been there since 2010. And I've had one major surgery and two minor surgeries on my back that has still caused me to have severe nerve damage to where sometimes you may see me walking around, but that's all. I'm walking in God's grace. So on the 27th of October, Kathy prayed for me, and she had prayed that, you know, I wouldn't have to go to court. Well, I was praying that, please, God, because I didn't want to go to court because, you know, you're going amongst people that is there to discredit you. And how many of you know that when God be for us, no, who can be against us? So I'm still a little nervous about the whole thing. And by the grace of God, sitting in the court, I understood why God said to pray those words, because when you're sitting in a place where people are discrediting your character and you are telling them how, you know, I was raised by a family that believed in working hard, no entitlements, it's by the sweat of my brow. And I had been at a company where I had been promoted in different ranks, supervisor, administrative, executive administrator, just several ranks to where God has blessed me, and I give God all the glory. But because the effective, fervent prayer of the righteous avail it much, God saw fit to have me when the judge, he didn't render a verdict. He says, I'm going to take, and it was a stack of papers about this high. He says, I'm going to take those papers, and I'll get back with you all. And then one day, I think I was leaving the doctor's office, again, after coming to prayer. You guys got to come to Tuesday prayer. I tell you, if you need to get over, that'll be the day to come to get you through the week. I know you're here on Sundays, but it's a powerful anointing that's in the presence of prayer on Tuesday. The long story short, the Holy Spirit told me to God be the glory for the things that he has done. And the judge rendered the case in my favor for the judgment of the surgeries and everything that I had. And I know that it was only by the grace of God and the power of his anointing where his word says clearly that he will be our vindicator. So I'm telling you all, prayer works, and faithfulness. You have to be faithful. When it doesn't look like it, that's when you really want to keep going before the throne of grace and knowing that God will cover you in his mercies and in his grace. So, and I stand here victorious in the Lord and by the power and anointing of prayer of the righteous that avail it much. Keep praying, keep trusting, and be faithful. And when you hear God telling you to move and go, whatever door God closes, he's going to open up another door. And now he's opening up doors for me to start the gifts of the business that he has placed in me where he wants me to be, that I may be a blessing to his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven.
Amen.
And even in the midst of no job, my home was kept by the grace of God. I did not lose my home. I did not lose my car. My kids did not grow hungry. Every need was met. God kept. He just kept us from danger seen and unseen. And I'm here to tell you, even in not having, I was tithing out of my lack. Okay? So I'm here to tell you, give it, and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall be poured into your laps. Okay? That's his word, and I'm standing here knowing that his word is true.
Amen. Well, you know, part of what's going on with Angela right now is at, you know, we've been talking, and she's got a ministry to special needs children and autistic and other children, and we're going to kick that off first part of the year. And we're going to have a mother's night out where she takes care of those kids. So if you know children between the age of 3 and, say, 8 or 9 that need that ministry, she's going to be helping us do that in January and February. So let's be praying for her and continue to lift her up. Would you stand with me? Let's just give God praise for these testimonies today. Come on, just begin to pray and give God praise and thanks for the testimonies. Father, we're just so grateful. God, we're so thankful, Lord. God, you said in your word, Lord, for us to be thankful. God, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God concerning us in Christ Jesus. So, God, we thank you today, and we give you all praise and glory. One more time, give God a big praise offering. Would you do that? Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody say hallelujah. Hello, Diamond. How you doing, darling? It's good to have you here today. I couldn't forget Diamond if I tried to. Amen. I'm sitting here running my eyes through the building and say, who did I forget? Did I forget anybody? You know how that is. I don't write anything down, so I get lost sometimes in that. But anyway, I think I covered everybody. Is anybody a guest here today for the first time? Okay. All right. God bless you guys today. Thank you. Take your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians 2, and we'll talk a little bit more about it's your time. Amen. How many know it's your time? So we're excited about the fact that it's our time. Our time. We're going to read 1 Corinthians 2, 6 through 8. You guys have done great back there today. Thank you, Danielle and Alex and Kyle and Rose. Let's give our crew back there a big hand this morning. And also Brad Friedson. Thank you, Brad. All these guys that make it possible. Brad's going to be kicking off of our video ministry this next year. Some live streaming on occasion, also some videos. So be praying. We're trying to get all that together. And so be praying that God will direct us in that. 1 Corinthians 2, 6 through 8 says, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. Verse 8, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And of course, you know, when you look out into our culture today, if the people knew, they certainly wouldn't defy Christianity. But they don't know. So we have to get them to a place to where they know. You know, God has stored up wisdom for such a time as this. I mean, know that to be true. God has given us wisdom for this time. We need forward thinking, not backward living. Everybody say forward thinking, but not backward living. Many times, you know, the shifts that we make are not our choices. You know, we go through situations. We go through conflicts in life. We go through what we refer to as atmospheric conflicts that are going on in the atmosphere, the environment. We go through conflicts of philosophies and ideologies. We see all these things begin to develop and even to run strong in our culture today. We see conflicts of emotion. Something happens in your life and you don't know how else to respond to it but just freak out. Right? We have conflicts. We have opinions. Opinions. All you got to do is get on Facebook and you'll see lots of opinions. And you know, we know that social media is a wonderful thing, but it is full of lots of opinionated people, including me sometimes. So we have to really take it with a grain of salt. And sometimes these seasonal conflicts that we go through in our life cause us to go in a direction that we didn't intend on going. But because of warfare in our life and because the enemy is trying to steal and kill and destroy your family and destroy who you are and absolutely steal your identity, you find yourself in places where you see that there's a lot of conflict going on. And James talks about that because we have people today who have cravings that can't be satisfied, have desires that can't be satisfied. Many of you sitting here today have gone through places where you've had desires in your life and they weren't satisfied the way that you thought they were going to be satisfied. Turn to James chapter 4 and we're going to read verses 1, 2, and 3. You know, we were meant Now look here. We were meant to cross over into prosperity or blessing or power or love, but for some reason, something happened and we went a different direction than we thought we were going to go. Maybe we chose to have our way instead of God's way. Maybe we chose to do our will instead of God's will. But you know, James 4 talks about that. I want you guys to really grab this morning. Let this sink in. Get it in your spirit. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? And you know, that warfare is going on every day for you guys, especially when you find yourself in an arena where there is tremendous influence for evil. You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. And then verse 3, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. You receive not because you ask not. It's really amazing. You know, we can be going through the most difficult time of our life when we've got so much pressure, so much stress being directed toward us and even directed toward the moves that we're making, or even some of the ideologies that we have. And what happens is that we see this warfare going on, and we know it's going on, and it may be pushing us in a direction that we don't want to go. But we know that the enemy is trying to come in, and he's trying to circumvent the situation. This is what's going to happen if you aren't careful. You'll get caught up in a paradigm of thinking where you feel like you're right and God's word is wrong. Listen, we can't allow ourselves to get there. Or maybe we're trying to add to God's word. Maybe we're trying to achieve something that God doesn't want us to achieve. And maybe we're trying to do something that God doesn't want us to do. Point number one today is this. Evil can influence us to move out of God's timing. Evil can influence us to move out of God's timing. Can you say that with me? Evil can influence us to move out of God's timing. Now, here's the thing. The greatest thing about it is this right here. When you look around in our world today, we may be thinking that the biggest problem that we have is terrorism, extremism, debt, $20 trillion worth of debt. Or maybe you think your school debt is the biggest problem in the world right now. For many of you who have school debt, or maybe you've got 3 or 4 credit cards that are built up. I want to say this to you this morning, that I don't believe that that's the greatest conflict that we got. The greatest conflict that we have is that people do not know about the goodness of God. And the Bible says that we overcome evil with what? With good. We overcome, say it with me, we overcome evil with good. And so some of the conflicts that we wind up in at work and everywhere else can create war in us and the earth around us. So we can go through conflict and it creates something that's very unsettling inside of us, and it also creates war in the earth around us as well. So conflicts within, conflicts without. Conflicts in us and conflicts all around us. And you know, as I look at this, I think about the places where God's trying to take us. Now think about this. Because personally, what God is trying to get you to do, personally, is God's trying to get you to a place to where you can overcome your personal situations in your life. And once he teaches you how to do that, once you prove yourself in overcoming some of your personal battles that you're going through, then God is able to give you, move you into a place to where you can begin to take back some of the territory that the devil has stolen from you. Y'all ain't hearing me. Somebody's showing up asleep in this place today. Come on. Because, listen, if you prove yourself in the personal walk that God has given you, if you prove yourself and you take a stand and you're pure and you're holy and you made your mind up that you're going to live for God and that you're not going to compromise, that you're not going to get caught up in the world's ways and doing what the enemy wants you to do and be influenced by the devil, but you move into a place where you totally trust God, where you trust in the Lord with all of your heart and you lean not upon your own understanding, then you begin to move into those personal victories that you want. Then you can take back territory that the devil's stolen. Maybe the devil stole your marriage. Maybe the devil stole your finances. Maybe the devil stole your family. But you can't even get past the grief and the hurt and the anger and the rage that you feel in your life right now. How do you expect to take back anything when you can't even control your own emotions? Man, I'm trying today. Y'all just ain't helping me this morning. Come on, help me a little bit today. I mean, you know, amen makes me keep going a little bit, you know. Give me an amen every now and then. So conflicts can create war in us and the earth around us, you know, as we begin to walk in it every day. Second thing here is this right here, is to gain revelation. Everybody say gain revelation. In other words, we want to get smart. Amen. We want to get smart. We want to gain revelation. Each year we need to seek to gain revelation. So as we move toward 2017, let's begin to pick up some new revelation from God that causes us to perceive what the voice of the Lord is saying to us. But what's the voice really saying to you? What's God's voice speaking to you? We're destroyed for lack of knowledge. Say that with me. We're destroyed for lack of knowledge. I was talking to a couple of kids in college this morning. We were talking about how you go to class some days and, man, you're fired up. And the next day you go and you're just a zombie. You're just sitting there. And they're throwing all this information to you and you're just going, whoa, I hadn't even woke up yet. And I'm just getting clobbered here with all of this information and knowledge, you know. And in other days, man, you're primed, you're ready, man. Your brain is just hooking them, man. I mean, you know exactly what you're doing. But each year we need to seek to gain revelation that causes us to perceive what the voice of the Lord is speaking into my life right now. What's God saying to me right now? Now, here it is right here. But look, I want you to get it. We're His voice in the earth. Without us being His voice, there is no voice. It's just an echo. Amen? We are His voice in the earth. And you know, one of the things that God's really teaching me probably more now than ever is that my number one responsibility outside of being a visionary, of being a leader, is to dethrone thrones of iniquity. Tear down patterns of sin. When I see a pattern of sin, when I see something that is a pattern, my job is to pray and tear down that grid of sin that is in somebody's life. You know what I'm saying? I'm supposed to dethrone the devil for the people that I love. But you know what? If you're walking around making stupid mistakes while I'm trying to dethrone the devil, you got to get with me in this thing, because the place of agreement is the place of power. The entrance of the Word brings light. We get revelation and we walk in that revelation and we act like we know where we're going. We're not going to spend eternity in hell. God has called us to heaven. God's trying to get heaven in us so that He can get hell out of us. Come on, somebody, give God praise today. We need some revelation and knowledge that is going to literally set us free. Because if you know the truth, come on, if you know the truth, it'll make you free. Come on, say it this morning. If you know the truth, it will make you free. So I want to dethrone addictions. I want to dethrone sexism or perversion. But I can't do that if I'm perverted. I'm walking around like some kind of pervert. You know, I've got to get control of that in my own life. And here's something else. We've got to learn how to defeat lawlessness. Bible says that because of iniquity, come on, the love of many will wax cold. Because of iniquity. Because of the patterns of sin, love disappears. How many of you know that love works? You know, we're going to be talking about that all during this next year. Love works. Love works. Say it with me. Love works. As we begin to love people, as we begin to love God, it changes everything. And there's got to be God's order. Everybody say God's order. God's order's got to be in your house. Now, here's what I want you to hear. And please, I'm not getting into this, but I want you to understand. We seem to be aligning around race and gender as opposed to mission, call, and gifting. The church can't afford to do that. We all struggle with it. We, you know, the transgender movement, the racism that we see in our culture today. We have to realize that God has called us to a mission. And everybody we come in contact with, nobody is out of my vision. when it comes to leading people to Jesus. My mission is to take everybody to the gospel of Jesus Christ, because I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus. I don't care where I'm at. I don't care who I'm with. I'm going to get the gospel in there because people need to be saved. Nobody needs to go to hell in this culture today. Too many of us know Jesus. Too many of us have got the grace of God at work in life. Why don't we share this gospel with people? This gospel that changes people around the world. No matter where we go, and get those people operating in their call, get those people operating in their gifting. But in order to do that, sometimes we've got to tear down some high places. We've got to tear down some altars that the devil has built. You know, I think about marriage all the time, and I think about you young folks that have gotten married, you young folks that are getting married. I think about, you know, how marriage, how important that it is, you know, for you to have strong marriage and for you to have a strong relationship with your spouse, with your mate, with the person that you're in love with. And you know, you have to build it, don't you? Doesn't just happen. You have to build that relationship. You can't build a marriage if you don't have a strong relationship. Now, you can try to, but you're not going to do it. I was thinking about this. I was sitting in a class the other night, and I was thinking about this in the context of where people go when they begin to drift apart. The first thing that happens in a marriage when people begin to drift apart is they begin to disagree. There's no place of agreement. Amen? No place of agreement. Place of agreement is place of power. So you got to sit down and you got to agree. You got to agree with your wife. You got to agree with your husband. I said you have to agree with your wife. You have to agree with your husband. And I'm talking about on the Word of God. The place of agreement is the place of power. When you can get into agreement, you may be in disagreement, but you're still in agreement. Because you're agreeing on the Word of God. And you know, you may be in the season that you're in right now, maybe the devil has thrown everything into just a mess. And you're all stirred up all the time. And you're all bent out of shape. And you're all angry and frustrated. And you come home and you think everybody's going to be glad to see you because you are angry and frustrated. It ain't going to happen. They're going to run from you. The kids are going to go to their room. Your wife is going to go to the garage. We got to build the right altars. Everybody say the right altars. Listen, well, we need a prayer altar in our house. We need a prayer room. In our house, we need a place that is totally dedicated and sanctified to God. Can you say amen? Altars that are built by the enemy, positioned strategically throughout the land, hold us captive to ruling spirits, even in our home. You can have somebody in charge of your home that you don't even want to be in charge of your home. But you got to get down and you got to pray. And you got to pray in the spirit with each other. And you got to believe that God's going to break through. We need some covenant roots. Everybody say covenant roots. God will not alter the thing that's gone out of His mouth. Not for you and not for anybody else. He's not going to alter what's going out of His mouth. Now, hell has a blueprint. Let's look at it. Turn to Romans 12:2. Hell has a blueprint. He's going to try to get a hold of you. The devil's going to try to get in. He's going to try to destroy. He's going to try to steal. He's going to try to kill. Everybody with me right now? Okay, we don't want to belong to the world. And you know, it's a fine line, isn't it? You talk to one person, they believe it's okay to do this. Talk to another person, they don't believe it's okay to do that. Talk to this person over here, and they say, well, it's okay for me to do that. And you talk to another person, they go, no, it's not okay for me to do that. So I'm not here to tell you what you can do and what you can't do. I mean, you know, you got to figure that out in your relationship with God. You know what God's limitations are on you. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. Sin is sin. And where sin abounds, grace doth much more abound. Amen. I almost said grace. Grace doth much more abound. Can you say amen? Now let's look at this. And do not be conformed to this world. Who said this? Paul said this. And do not be conformed to this world. Say it with me. Out loud. Do not be conformed to this world. It's up there. It's on the screen. Can y'all read that? Okay. And do not be conformed to this world, but be. I love it. All right. You guys are good. That was so much fun. Let's do it again. All right, here we go. And do not be. Oh, you guys are awesome. Wow. Wow. That's what I call an agreement. Amen. Place of agreement is the place of power. Can you say amen? So here's the thing. Let's just cut to the chase here. He says, look, you can't belong to the world and belong to me. You can't belong to the world and belong to me. Turn to Psalm 20, and let me kind of further this just a little bit. Psalm 20, we know you guys are ready to have your life groups and eat and all that good stuff. Okay, all right, we'll do that. All right. You know what? The other day, we had an interesting prayer meeting. I had a little prophetic word, and then Danny interpreted the whole thing. So, Danny, get ready. I'm going to pull you up here in just a minute. But this is Scripture. We're going to read a few verses here in Psalm chapter 20. It says, we rejoice in your salvation, and in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. Everybody say, we're going to set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Have you ever noticed that when we have a favorite football team, we put stuff all over our car and in our yard and everything else. And my mind just left me here. What's the town you're in? Arkadelphia. Man, Arkadelphia is the bomb, man, let me tell you. Isn't it, Vinny? It's got two universities in Arkadelphia. You got Wichita University and you've got Henderson State University, which is where this guy plays football at. But you know what? Isn't it amazing when you think about this, when you think about what God is doing here, everybody puts banners in their yard. Like my son's got an Ole Miss banner in his yard. And then I have a friend that's got he's an engineer, he's got a huge Mississippi State banner in his yard. And then we got people on our street that have Alabama banners in their yard. We have people who have Auburn banners in their yard. We have people that have Southern Mississippi banners in their yard. Okay, well, we're going to get away from it here. All right, here we go. Ohio State University. Which, by the way, they won yesterday, barely 17-16. That should knock them out of the top four for sure. Albert was here, he'd be throwing a fit. Okay, number 6. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from where? With the saving strength of his hand. Now watch this, I love this part right here. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. You know what that means? Some trust in the flesh. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. How many know that we're going to remember the name of the Lord our God? So God wants us to raise up banners. Come up here, Danny, just for a minute, because we talked about this a little bit. You know, we've got to hear the Lord's voice in the environment that we live in. When we talk about banners, I was just kind of approaching this from a completely different direction here, and all of a sudden, Danny started giving kind of a word the other day, and he started talking about banners in the context of what? So talk to us a little bit.
There's so much, Pastor. Where do I start? Banners relate to people. And we started praying, and God would say, pray that this people would arise, the people that would be financially able to support the church. And then banners of people that would pray for the lost and that the kingdom of God would come upon the earth as it is in heaven. Banners of all sorts. There was just banners that would teach people how to succeed in life. Banners that would teach people how to pray for healing with people. It's just all kind of different banners in this related to people. And there's just so much in this. But the banners, the diversity that God wants to bring forth in this congregation, and it says that God will give you the desires of your heart. And to me, that means he will place these desires in your heart. And the one to me that has been growing the strongest is that this congregation starts growing. This congregation starts sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with strangers, and that the Spirit of God would teach us how to share the gospel of Jesus Christ so this congregation would start growing. It's on us. It's up to us. And I've been praying, give me the courage to speak to someone. In most cases and incidents, when you talk to someone about Jesus, most of them are already there. They're ready. Just somebody speak to me about Jesus. And that's something that the Holy Spirit is going to teach us so this congregation will grow and be strong, and most of all, will be mature, will be spiritually mature. In the last 3 or 4 weeks, this desire is growing stronger. And I believe it because it's the Holy Spirit putting that desire in my spirit to see this congregation start growing. It's up to the Holy Spirit, but it's up to us to be willing to be in place, to listen to the Holy Spirit say, share the gospel, share my good news with this one. It's up to us.
We know the goodness of the Lord. Thank you, sir. The goodness of the Lord leads to repentance. Amen? Say it with me. The goodness of the Lord leads to repentance. I'm going to close with this. I want you guys to really get this, and then we're going to be through. Don't let the enemy dictate to you what you're going to be doing. Don't let the culture dictate to you. You've got to get beyond that. Amen? You've got to get into a place to where you're not living by a spirit of fear. Are you really stepping into, don't worry about what's going on out there. Just be available for God to use. Don't worry about what people are saying. Remember that God in you is stronger. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Last scripture I want to share comes out of 1 Peter 1:13, and it really talks about where we need to go with this morning. It says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. Rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Let's do it again. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope. Isn't that great? Rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, here's the thing. Did you know that we can't be separated from God? Even by our own ignorance or stupidity. Our dullness of hearing. I mean, God's already accepted us. We're already in the family of God. Amen. So we need to be sober in spirit. Realize that God is in me. And who can separate me from God if God's in me? And you know, nobody can separate. Nobody out there can separate me from God because he's in me. So how's somebody in the world going to separate me from God? If you want to be somebody in the kingdom, you have to learn how to love and accept what God has already done for you. What God has already released inside of you. None of us want to come to the end of our life with a low level of faith. I mean, we want a level of faith that is powerful. We don't want to come to that place where we're trying to operate and we don't have the faith that we need to actually operate by. And most of us, as I started out today, most of us are entirely too passive with our circumstances. We give in too quickly. You get phone calls all the time, and people are talking about, I need this, I need this, this happened to me this week, I need this, I need this, I need this, and I need this. look, I ain't God. I mean, he the one that's going to help you with this, you know? I mean, come on. You got to get a hold of God. You got to get to God, because sometimes God will allow things to come your way just to get you to him, get you to turn to him. God's way of thinking has to grow in you. Let this mind be in you that is in Christ Jesus. Begin to accept his word. Operate in his word. Don't get caught up in the philosophies of the age that we live in. Don't get caught up in all the circumstances that come your way. Listen, there are going to be circumstances tomorrow. What does God want to be for me tomorrow? He wants to be a healer. He wants to be Jehovah Jireh, my provider. He wants to be Jehovah Shammah, my peace. God wants to be everything for me this week, but I've got to let him be that. I'm going to tell you this. The Lord says, vengeance is mine. It ain't mine. It ain't my job to judge anybody, try to find out why this is working, this ain't working. My job is to get in line and let God's favor just spill out on me. My job is not to be offended by everything that comes along. Don't lose your focus. Don't get caught up in every offense that comes down the pike. Don't get caught up in anger and frustration. Your set time of deliverance is here. Come on up, Chris. Come on up, band. Your set time of deliverance is here. How many believe that? As when we started this series, we talked about the set time of deliverance. How many remember that? Stand with me this morning. This is a set time. Everybody say a set time of deliverance. Come on, lift your hands and begin to trust that God is going to deliver you.